picking the right stand. I did not choose wisely here. Thanks, Lance. Well, let's pray to start out. Oh, Lord, there is none like you. No one can compare. We can't live up to your standards, to your love, to your wisdom, but you do fill us, and you do love us as your children. I just think of you, Lord, that you are our Father, and that we can honor you today as our Father. So we say, Happy Father's Day, Lord. Thank you for showing us that greatest example of what a father's love is. In your name, amen. I thought I knew what it would be like to be a father. I thought I had a grasp on that, and then you have kids, and it's just totally different, and it's greater, and it's scarier than I ever imagined. You think of the basic things of protecting and loving and leading, providing for your family, and those are all well and good, but I've learned that you can't do it. You can't do it good enough, but that with the Lord and the Spirit within you, that you can have a shot, that he can empower you and make you able to be the father that he desires, and to show a little bit of what the Father's heart is for his family and his people. And so I just want to frame this morning about how can we honor our Heavenly Father. There are many ways, but I want to just focus on four of them. And we'll be looking at John 13, so if you want to open there. But just to give a little background, just thinking about God as Father, even from the start, he was our Father. Before anything was born, before we were born, before the world was made, that he desired to be a father. He desired to have relationship with us. That he didn't speak the earth into existence just because he was a creator. He spoke it into existence so that we'd have a place, so that he could give good gifts to us. He took a totally blank canvas and made this beautiful, crazy, audacious gift for his kids. That he would make the stars, the moon, the sun, the plants, the animals, and that he would make us and say, here, I've made this for you. Name these things. Care for these things. Lead over these things. That God the Father would create the whole world just for us. He thinks that much of us. And so he continues to pursue us even when we fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, he still continued to pursue them. And no matter if they were rebelling in the desert or if they were in the promised land and they had kings and they had prophets that they would hear what he was speaking, he continued to pursue them no matter where they were. And so how can we honor a God like that, a father? Well, this is a strange passage, but what I keep on coming back to is we can honor our Father, our Heavenly Father, in the ways that we see Jesus honored him. Jesus was the Son, and he knew the Father better than anyone. He and the Father were one, he said. He said that he only said what the Father would say, and that he'd only do what the Father would do. And if you know Jesus, then you know the Father. Well, we can't honor the Father any better than Jesus did. And I think this is a beautiful passage of showing four ways that Jesus honored his Father. So let's read chapter 13, verses 1, and we'll go through verse 17. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part in me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The first thing that jumps out to me here is just that love that Jesus has for his disciples. That he's kind of a spiritual father, you could say, to these disciples. That he loved them so much, he knew who he was, he knew that he was going back to the Father, he knew what was coming ahead, and it was kind of the last impression that he could give. It was towards the end of his ministry. And he chose to love them to the full extent. That he, their master and Lord, their leader, their spiritual father, he would take off his garments and wash their feet, that they had been clean for the Passover feast, but with walking, their feet were a little dirty, and that's the job of a servant. That's the job of a slave. But nobody else served them in this way. So the leader, that father, took it upon himself to show how deep he loved for them. So there's that external side that I've seen with being a father, that you know you want to care and you want to provide, but there's that deeper level, that relationship that that Jesus showed them how to show and reflect God's love, that he poured himself out, whether it was washing feet or as a symbol to what was to come, that he was to love them to the full extent when he died on the cross for us and for them. And I think of that love, that sacrificial love, and thinking back of a passage that we probably all know, but applying it to ourselves. Is our love patient even after a long day? Is it kind? Does our love not envy someone else's family or someone else's lifestyle? Does it not boast? Is it not proud? Too proud to ask for help or concern or to help somebody in need? Is our love not rude? Is it not self-seeking? Is it not easily angered? Even when that person or that child has done the same thing 50 times, do you still forgive them? Do you not get angry at them? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but always rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, and it always perseveres. What a picture of what we are to be as the Father's children and just as a picture of parenthood. What a challenge that is. We need God's love to be his children and to be parents to his children. That last part just always gets me, that I need to be, I need to have his love within me, because his love protects. It perseveres even no matter what comes my way, that I need his love. Jesus also in this passage showed us that we need humility. In verse 3, it says that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He has everything under his power. He could do, you know, whatever he wanted. He had all of the power, more power than any superhero we could imagine. And what does he choose to do but to serve his disciples one more time? And a beautiful picture of this that matches this passage perfectly is in Philippians 2, that Jesus did not consider it something to be grasped that he was the Son of God, but he made himself nothing, that he took on the form of a servant. And that's exactly the picture that we see here. He doesn't think that being greater is something to be lauded or expressed or to be cherished, but he lays that down for us. He lays that down for his children, for his people. And are we doing that in our lives, to those around us, to our families? Just as a parent, I've always thought, you know, it's easy in my mind, at least. I don't know. I've never had to experience this, but it's easy to picture when your child or someone you love runs out in the street and you say, if I can save them, I'm going to save them. I would give my life for this person. But then that's kind of easy, I feel like. You know, you think of that dream, and I'm sure a lot of us would do that. But then is our love deep enough that when we're tired from work, when we head home, and all that my daughter wants to do is play, and I just want to watch a movie, I want to relax, I want to do something, do we have enough love to do that? It's a challenge to me. Are we humble enough to love others as ourselves, to love our children better than ourselves? What a crazy, humbling experience that can be. But that's what Jesus shows us in this passage, that he cared for us so much that even when he knew the torment that he would face, that he loved them to the full extent. And Jesus led by example. Excuse me here. He did something for them. He said, now that you know these things, now that I've set for you an example that you need to do these, that he led by examples. And Paul in the Bible as well shows us this beautiful picture. In 1 Corinthians 11, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I see this alive and well in Jesus' life here, that he would lead by doing something tangible, something that we can see and experience and do, that something tangible that he can show his deep love and his leadership, that he would stoop down to something like that and show his heart to his people, that he would show them not only that physical thing, but that spiritually he cared for them in that way. I think of Lainey again on this, that I was holding Josh just this week, and we were trying to clean up some of our little fun that we had. And so I was holding Josh, and I couldn't hold everything while I was trying to put it away. So I thought, well, I'll just push it with my foot. You know, that seems like a good idea. That seems okay. But Lainey, in a split second, sees what I'm doing. She puts down whatever she has in her hands, and she starts kicking them around and pushing them to her place, too. You know, we're always going to set an example to the people around us. But is it good or is it a bad example? You know, people are going to pick up on that. And Lena is the shining light to that. Whatever we do, whatever we say, she's at that age where she'll just pick it up. But it's not just kids too. It's the people around us. What are they seeing in us? And what are they seeing? What example are we setting, whether it's at work, whether it's with our friends or family? What example are we setting? And finally, that Jesus was faithful to the end. He showed the full extent of his love. And some passages, some translations say he loved them to the end. So we can honor God the Father, we can honor him on this Father's Day by being faithful to him and to give ourselves fully to the end of the line, that he would know that we were a good and faithful servant. Jesus knew that he was returning to the Father. He knew this was one of the last chances that he'd have with his disciples to show them his Father's heart for them and one of their last impressions. He knew that the crucifixion was coming. He knew all of these things, all of these challenges, even with, I think, Peter's our poster child here of somebody that doesn't quite get it or is rebellious or is really outgoing, and you know what he's thinking here when we read about him. That even in this passage, he says, no, don't wash me. You shouldn't be doing that. You're my master. You're my Lord. I respect you too much to do this. Let me clean your feet. And he would deny him in the future. Jesus knew that these things were coming, and yet he was faithful to his people. He was loving to them to the end. So in your life, are you reflecting these things? Are you loving to the end, loving with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength to both God and to others? Are you walking in humility? Are you laying your life down so that you might serve another? And are you leading by example? Are you setting a good example? And are you committed to being faithful to the end? I know I can't picture who it is right now, but somebody that I know has told me, I don't read about people or I don't read people's stories until they've died, you know? I want to see that they were faithful to the end. I want to see that witness. And I pray that that's our stories, that our stories at the end, that we can say we've been faithful to the end. So on this Father's Day, these are just four things that we can do. But I pray that God is speaking to you, that maybe something on this touched your heart, and that we can explore that, that we can see throughout this time that we're together, through the week to come, that what God wants for you, what he desires that you do and to be. That we can't do any of this on our own. That it's not going to be good enough if I say, yep, I'm going to love better. But that if I pray and I ask him, say, Lord, give me the strength, give me your love, for God is love, it says in 1 John 4. He is love. So God, give me your love. Fill me with your spirit because I can't do this. But that he wants us to love and to lead by example, to have that humility that he showed. So maybe just reflecting on this kind of parenting theme, maybe your kids are out of the house and you, well, you know, who do I parent? Who do I do? Who do I look after? Who can I show these things to? And I've learned that I don't think parenting ends. You know, you're always going to have kids. You're always going to have grandkids. And you can continue to live these out and to lead by example and love your kids no matter how old they are, if they're adults or they're little children, or if they're still to come. But maybe you can be a parent to somebody that's not a blood relative to you. Maybe you can be a spiritual parent to them. Are there people in your lives that are just drawn to you or that keep on popping up in your head that you can serve them and love them as a parent would? Can you show them God's love and God's heart for them? Maybe God's saying, you know what, you don't measure up. You don't measure up to being a good father or something like that. Maybe he's telling you, yeah, have you reached the end? And I don't think any of us have. Would we seek him out? Would we ask for the Spirit to fill us? And you need every fruit of the Spirit. We all know that. Boy, is that harder when we look at that list and you see with real examples, real experience, how hard it is to live out your life with your children, with your people around you, with that the fruit of the Spirit. Who have been your spiritual fathers? And I think John touched on that perfectly, that his physical father just led him a great example of what a spiritual father is. And do they know that? Have you told them that they were meaningful in your life? And just in general, these four little things, with the Spirit's power and strength, they're universal. It doesn't have to be in one stage or the other. It's a continual process that God has been calling us deeper and deeper into a relationship with him. That we might think we know what love is now, but he's calling us. He is so deep. His love is so wide that we need to keep on pressing into him and learn more about what that is that he has for us. So let's take a few minutes. And in this time, just I pray that the Lord would guide your hearts and your minds, that he would bring this about in your life, that you would see what he has for you in this time. Lord, thank you for your Father's heart, that you would create this world for us, that you would give your children such good gifts, and that even when we go the wrong way, that you would send your Son to show us how to relate to you, and also just that we could have that standing with you, that we could be your sons and daughters again, that we would be reunited with you. Lord, I pray that we would experience that, and we would know that you would be living within us fully, that you would empower us to be your witnesses, to your examples, that we would be filled with your full Father's heart love for those around us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us people that come to our mind and keep on popping up in our daily activities, in our lives, that you would have us reach out in your name, that we could show them your love and your faithfulness to them. Lord, I pray these things in your name. Amen.